It's Tuesday, July 5th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, coming to you from Detroit, Michigan, where the Cleveland Guardians were swept on a July 4th doubleheader by the Detroit Tigers, losing the first game 4-1 and dropping the second game 5-3. In the first game, Zach Plesac on the mound gave up two in the first inning on a Miguel Cabrera base hit, two-run base hit, and then settled in, really sort of pitched well, gave him six strong innings, but the Guardians were unable to muster any offense beyond a Josh Naylor solo home run. Naylor eventually left the game with back spasms, but was available to pinch hit in the second game of the doubleheader, so we will wait to see on Tuesday how Naylor reports to the clubhouse and to see if there's a possibility of a stint on the injury list there. But a good sign that Naylor was available to pinch hit late in the game on the second end of the doubleheader there. Curious play in that first game. Miles Straw, after reaching base at first, he stole second base, got kind of decoyed by Javi Baez when he stole second. Did not slide as he went into the base. And then on Stephen Kwan's base hit to left field with two outs, Straw rounded third. Mike Sarbaugh, the third base coach, sent him. And Straw arrived about the same time as the throw from left fielder Robbie Grossman. The throw was offline, but Tucker Barnhart was able to make the stop and dive back towards Straw, who did not slide into home plate. And he was tagged on the hip for the out. What would have been the game-tying run at the time instead ended the inning. So Terry Francona said he wasn't 100% sure that if Straw had slid, that he would have had the angle to make it into home and not get tagged out by Barnhart. But the play was challenged by the Tigers. He was originally ruled safe, challenged by the Tigers, and it comes out in Detroit's favor. The run was erased, and Cleveland went on to not score again in the game. Just a real struggle against Detroit rookie Garrett Hill. Hill had just enough of his fastball, according to Francona, to get the ball, you know, past the barrels of the Guardians hitters. But the real story here, Plesac again turning in another strong performance, his seventh consecutive quality start, and very little to show for it because the offense just couldn't catch up for him. Let's hear from Zach Plesac following his outing on Tuesday afternoon.
Tough to get things going, two guys on, first two guys up. Just how'd you get things settled in and start off?
Yeah, just first batter just was missing off, kind of pulling, I think, a little bit, trying to hit the corner. You know, then Miggy comes up and chops him up the middle. Settled in after that. Just getting a good start off the bat is key. You know, I think can do a better job of that next time.
For you, you've been the hard luck pitcher for this team when it comes to scores and getting runs. Just how have you been able to stay within yourself to do your job?
Yeah, you know, it's just going out there and brick by brick. You know, I've been living by that phrase, you know, the past month and a half, just continue to get better every day, look to ways to help keep us in games, you know, look to go out there and do my job, make pitches, get ahead and get us back in the dugout as quick as we can. So, you know, that's really my job, and we're going to keep doing that.
As you guys battle through this schedule, what are you guys doing to try to keep the energy up as best you can?
Yeah, this is like a middle way of the season right now. It's definitely a time where we got to stay up. We just got to keep the energy around here, you know, on days like this, doubleheaders, plan after plan of a lot of games in a row, another doubleheader a few days ago. This is a key moment here in between these games. This is when the energy has to stay up, and we got to go and bring the energy to this next second game and get a W.
Zach, you've had a pretty consistent start. You've had, what, six, seven, eight starts. What do you attribute that to? Is that just learning your game as you go? Is that facing adversity and bouncing back? Like,
I mean, it's all the confidence, the work to put in, just the adjustments that have had to be made. You know, I think we got off to a great start. Then it was like a week and a half, 2 weeks where things were kind of south. Just didn't have the command we wanted, and then we locked back in, and it's been great. I mean, for the most part, this whole season, everything's felt good. You know, I think this is the time to go out there and continue to try to find ways to get better and capitalize in moments of the game.
Your pitch count was pretty high after the fourth. How pumped were you to have that five-pitch fifth inning to know that you're going to get the ball going back out for the sixth? And
yeah, those are huge. When you can get those quick outs after throwing a lot of pitches in the first few innings, definitely got me feeling good and good rhythm. That next inning came out, pump strikes. You can always take those when you get them.
Following the game, the Guardians sent Gabriel Arias down to AAA Columbus and expect maybe another move on the bullpen side of things prior to Tuesday's game. And it also depends, again, on Naylor's condition with the back spasms, if depending on how he reports to the clubhouse again. So that's where we are with the Guardians dropping two games in that doubleheader, the nightcap. They went on to lose 5-3. Alex Fiedo didn't last past the fourth inning after the Guardians scored three times. Framil Reyes with an RBI double after Ahmed Rosario and Jose Ramirez were aboard. And Owen Miller comes through with an RBI single, a sacrifice fly by Andres Jimenez. And the Guardians looked in good shape at 3-1. But then the circus arrived, and Connor Pilkington, who was up from AAA to start the game, leading off the bottom of the fourth inning, Eric Haas sent a infield pop in between first and the mound, and Pilkington and Sandy Leon had some communication issues, colliding with each other. The ball popped out of Pilkington's glove, and while they sort of looked at each other, the ball stayed behind home plate, and Haas made his way all the way to second. It led to Haas scoring on an infield ground out and a couple more runs on balls that really just didn't even get out of, you know, didn't go 90 feet. Terry Francona said after the game, you know, they harped on the players during the spring training time that if a major league hitter doesn't hit a ball more than 90 feet or puts a ball in play not more than 90 feet, that they've got to get outs. And they gave up a couple of balls at the bag, including one hit to Owen Miller where Pilkington didn't get to the bag in time, got his foot down on a play that was challenged, and the runner was ruled safe. On that, it set up another base hit by Jonathan Scope. Scope went 6-for-7 on the day with a couple of RBIs, scored a bunch of runs, and Terry Francona said, you know, that's a guy who he's seen get hot in the past, and it causes real problems for the Guardians. So where does that leave us after a two-game doubleheader sweep? The Guardians now 2-5 against the Tigers on the season in seven games. And this is a Tigers team that, you know, doesn't necessarily hit you with a lot of pitching. They've got a lineup that's, you know, that can be pitched to. You can pitch to a guy like a Javier Baez. But Miguel Cabrera, again, comes through, makes a difference in the first game. And then, again, the Guardians had one three-run inning, and then that was it for the ball game. So they suffered from what is pretty obviously a lack of energy, playing their third doubleheader in 7 days, coming off an emotionally draining win on Sunday against the Yankees. The team was flat. It had a lack of energy. You could see there was a time when Andres Jimenez dove for a ball at second base and just sat in the outfield because he was exhausted, and he really was just gathering himself. You know, and it's not a knock on him. You're talking about a guy who's played in, you know, five games in a little over 48 hours. It's tough, and you have sympathy for them, but you also realize that they've got to grind and they've got to be out there. And we talked to catcher Luke Maley about that after Monday's second game, and this is what Luke had to say.
Just the stretch, you know, two doubleheaders plus that taxing Yankee game yesterday. Just, you know, what's the energy level of this team right now, and how do you get it back up to where it needs to be for tomorrow?
I actually think it's pretty good. I mean, you know, it didn't show today. We certainly had some miscues and some stuff that you would like to think wouldn't happen if we weren't on such a grinding stretch. So, but, you know, it's not really we're not really in a position to think about it or worry about it. We're just trying to show up and do the best we can. I'm sure the schedule is not a huge advantage to us right now, but every team kind of goes through this at some point. We're just going to have to find a way to do it.
Three doubleheaders in 7 days is pretty sick, though. I mean, is there anything in the back of your head that's like, okay, thank God we got through that, and now we can just play normal for a little bit?
When we get through it, I'm sure there will be a little bit of that, but, you know, I'll be honest, I haven't thought about it too much. You know, I think you kind of do yourself a disservice to think about it. So it is tough. The guys are grinding, but we're still in a good position, and I fully expect us to come out tomorrow and play well.
It's shown on, you know, the bullpen. Obviously, there's a churn and a rotation through. They're trying to get fresh guys in. But, you know, today it showed up for the first time in, like, the position players. Like, I saw Andres dive for a ball and just sort of sit there for an extended time. You know, how do you pick your teammates up in that situation?
Same way you always do. You know, I think you got to hold each other accountable, which we all do. We do a great job of that, especially for having such a young team. The young guys are a huge plus for us. They play with a spark. They play with a lot of energy. And I think I mentioned before, it's refreshing to be around. So they help a lot. Our pitching's been pretty good. If we can continue to pound the strike zone and do the little things, it's going to be fine.
Before Monday's games, the Guardians welcome back Oscar Mercado, who was claimed on waivers from Philadelphia after Philadelphia had claimed Oscar on waivers from Cleveland. He played in the second game, had a base hit in the second game of the doubleheader, while Oscar Gonzalez recovers from his strained abdominal. It gives Mercado a chance to reunite with his club, and this is what Mercado had to say prior to Monday's doubleheader.
What did they tell you the expectations are right now for you coming back in here?
Nothing, just go and try to help the team win. You know, I left for a little bit, but you know, I still kept up with the guys and everything that they're doing. And, yeah, my job here is just to come in and just kind of do whatever I can in whatever capacity they need me to try to help this team keep winning games.
Did you learn anything about yourself with the time away, or was it just too short?
It was an interesting experience. You know, these last 2 weeks, it's been kind of like a back and forth in limbo kind of thing. But you know, if anything, it makes you appreciate everything and the process and all of that much more. So,
watching a couple of the games that they've had over the last couple of weeks, the two walk-offs back to back and all that, just, you know, knowing the energy that they have in this clubhouse, was it exciting for you to have the opportunity to come back to this?
Yeah. You know, I miss the guys. So many good relationships here, and just being able to be back in this culture, I'm really excited about it.
Finally, I had a chance to catch up with Eli Morgan, coming off of Sunday's outing against the Yankees, where he went a scoreless eighth inning and set up Emmanuel Clase following Tristan McKenzie's brilliant seven innings. Morgan did not pitch in the doubleheader on Monday, but he said that, you know, this is the beginning of a big stretch for the Guardians. All division opponents basically leading up until the All-Star break, and it's a chance for Cleveland not only to, you know, make up ground on Minnesota, but also put some distance between themselves and the Tigers and the White Sox and the Royals, who they will be seeing several more times before the end of the season. So this is what Eli Morgan had to say about, you know, seeing players and seeing batters multiple times in a series and how he prepares and how he goes about you know, getting ready to face an opponent when you know you're going to see them multiple times in maybe the space of a week.
So this sort of kicks off like a stretch of like 15 games against the division. These are guys that you've seen already this season. You're going to see them again. For you, for preparing each game to game, what's that mean in terms of, you know, these guys are going to be maybe hunting a certain pitch or whatever for you? What do you do to sort of counteract that?
I mean, we have scouting reports on them, so we just use it and try to come up with a good game plan. It changes a little bit every time you've seen a guy, but you know, it's a smaller outing. Like, the most I might see him is like two or three times for this whole series. You know, maybe someone I see more than that, but it doesn't change too much. Like they see you once or twice, but you still got to go up there and use your strengths and use their scouting report against them.
As far as this stretch before the All-Star game, playing in the division all these games, do you guys look at it as an opportunity here to sort of not just establish where you are in the division, but to sort of make ground and sort of maybe get some separation?
Yeah, absolutely. We can solidify our top spot. We can gain some ground over the rest of them. We've had a lot of tough games, and these will be just as tough. You know, they're in division, so they're maybe even more important than the games we just played, and it's good to go into break on a good note.
Coming off of yesterday, has the heart slowed down a little bit after that? I mean, eighth inning, you know, protecting a two-run lead against the Yankees, it's got to be exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. We had a great crowd there. It's good to take one from those dudes. You know, doubleheaders are tough. It's, you know, we had that momentum early in that first game, and then they instantly reply. I mean, it's just a really good ball club, so obviously we want to win a series, but doubleheaders are tough, so we'll take one. It's good. I mean, the one hit sticks pitch's butt off, and, you know, a little scary of a ninth, but plus it's nails as always. So.
Yeah, that was impressive. You know, to have to get five outs against them is really impressive.
Yeah.
For you, you mentioned the doubleheaders. You prefer pitching the first game or the second game of the doubleheader? Or is there no preference? Or
I don't think there's a preference. I'm trying to think which ones I think I pitched first the last couple times. No preference.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. So that brings us to Tuesday and our matchup Tuesday night, 7:10, between Cal Quantrill for the Guardians and Drew Hutchinson. That'll be the pitching matchup for the game. The Guardians looking to break a two-game losing streak, get back on the plus side, and really get a good feeling against this Tigers club that's really sort of had their number early in the season. And you know, at least in the first half, they're going to play each other 12 more times. There's plenty of opportunity to get things right against Detroit, but this is a team that if the Guardians are expecting to you know, challenge for the playoffs or even contend for a wild card spot, the Detroits and the Kansas Cities are the two teams in the division that they can't mess around with. And you know, I think five wins already for Detroit was more than a lot of people maybe would have predicted the Tigers be able to get against the Guardians. Cal Quantrill definitely gives them a good chance tonight against Hutchinson, who's 0-4 with an ERA north of 4 per game. So it'll be something to watch there, how the Guardians attack Hutchinson early and try to get into that bullpen, which, you know, Detroit's bullpen should be just as tired as Cleveland's. Again, Eli Morgan and Emmanuel Clase, the only two that didn't pitch in Monday's doubleheader. I expect Cleveland to probably make a couple of moves, at least one in the bullpen, to bring a fresh arm up. And, you know, there's a possibility that position players may be moving. A lot of subtext subscribers, you know, getting into the idea of maybe demoting Miles Straw to let him work on some things in AAA. But I really don't think, you know, that's in the cards as yet. I think they're going to give Straw a lot of opportunity to try and get himself right. They've seen what he can do when he's hot earlier in the season, and they're going to let him do that. Especially, you know, he signed the contract that basically, you know, bought out his arbitration years and gave them cost certainty on him. It doesn't necessarily guarantee that they can't, you know, trade him or, you know, send him down. But, you know, there's a level of comfortability when you do that. So, you know, who knows if I really doubt that has a lot to do with his slump. But we'll see. I'm going to get into the weeds there with Chris Valleca and some of the other coaches to see what their opinions of Miles Straw are at this point, and we'll be bringing that to you later on this week. That's going to wrap it up for today's edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. We'll be back at it on Thursday with more
from Detroit, and we'll talk to you then.